Welcome back to another episode of the Jewish Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with Shimon Kol Yaakov, along with his brother, founded Torah Anytime in 2006. Today, Torah Anytime is the largest library of originally recorded Torah videos in the world, with over 70,000 Torah videos from more than 1,000 different speakers. They receive upwards of 300,000 monthly visits from over 120 countries and more than 7.5 million hours of Torah a year, all being learned through Torah Anytime. Shimon, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Baruch Hashem. Everything is great. Thank you for inviting me to speak at your wonderful show.
Thank you so much for agreeing to join. You know, I think your story is something that some of the listeners may be aware of, but if you could share, at least to some extent, what you and your brother did and why you decided to start Torah Anytime, that would be great.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah, it's all Hashem first before anything else. But by the way, you're reading a little introduction of Torah Anytime from a few years ago. Just to give you a little update, now it's not 70,000 lectures. Now it's over 300,000 lectures.
Wow.
Baruch Hashem. And the other thing is, and it's well over 12 million hours a year that we're spreading. So it's incredible what is happening. Like you said, you know, we have been interviewed over the past few years by quite a number of people. But in a nutshell, for those people who haven't heard it, by the way, I encourage everyone to watch our documentary that was made not too long ago about Torah Anytime. And it goes through the detail of how my brother and I, two public school kids who came from a communist country, we came from the former Soviet Union, ended up starting Baruch Hashem, the largest yeshiva in the world without walls. And it is a very inspiring story. But it's called Beyond Walls, by the way, the documentary. And if you go to Torah Anytime and you just type in Beyond Walls, you'll see we've been told by many people it's a very, very inspiring story. But basically we're from a country called Uzbekistan. We're Bukharian, and we were there probably for almost 2000 years, since the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. And I'm sure we went through our whole journey over there. But when communism came in, into the country, of course, we know what communism taught, that Chas V'Shalom Hashem doesn't exist. And even though my great-grandparents and their parents were all from Jews, but unfortunately, my grandfather and my father did not grow up in a from situation. And traditional, but not more than that. So when we immigrated to this country when I was 2 years old, 1979, I went to public school as I was growing up, and we knew we were Jewish, didn't know much more than that. And a wonderful organization called Queens JEP, which still exists today, the JEP stands for Jewish Education Program, which pulls Jewish kids out of public school for 1 hour a week. Somehow they found out who the Jews were in the public school that I was in. They got in touch with the parents. And I remember my mom asking, do you want to go to this program that you get to leave 1 hour early every Wednesday? I'm like, leave school early, sign me up. I don't care where I'm going. So that was pretty cool. And I remember going there, you know, and really liking it and waiting till next week, Wednesday, 2 p.m., going again, really enjoying it, learning about Judaism. And this was going on week after week after week. And I was in third or fourth grade at the time. And Baruch Hashem, it got to the point where it was something I was just looking forward for every day, waiting for Wednesday, 2 p.m. to go to this, it used to be called religious instruction hour. But, and then somewhere in the middle of the fourth grade, after going to this program for about a year, year and a half, I guess the rabbi started to speak to my parents and try to convince them to send me to a yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I went to a yeshiva designed for public school kids called Yeshiva Institute at the time. Now it's called Yeshiva Primary, led by Rabbi Zalman Deutscher. Baruch Hashem, they're already in their 55th year doing this. Absolutely amazing. And I went there for a few years, again, really enjoying learning all about Yiddishkeit and Judaism, and not really holding so much yet, but just absorbing it all in as a young, you know, young guy, 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. And I remember coming home to my parents and them not really appreciating these new rules that I'm learning about keeping kosher properly, keeping Shabbos. They're like, listen, don't tell us what to do, you know, whatever it is. So So I was there from fourth grade until eighth grade. And then in ninth grade, I just decided to go back to public school. There was like a lot of peer pressure. A lot of the, some of the kids in the class decided to go to public school. So I decided to go with them as well. And my parents were thrilled. Oh, we have this fanatic in the house. It was telling us about all these Jewish things. And they didn't really appreciate it at the time. By the way, just to let you know, make sure I don't finish the ending to the story. Both my parents are, Baruch Hashem, very frum. I can't get my dad out of the Beit Midrash. He loves to learn all day and daven, and my mom's reading Tehillim. So that's just me. I want to make sure I get that part out. One time I was saying the story, and I forgot to say that part. Everyone feels so bad. But no. But at the time, they really didn't understand it and appreciate it. But anyway, so I went to Forest Hills High School, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. And that's really when all the seeds that were planted during those 4 years in that yeshiva, that Kirov yeshiva, began to really begin to sprout. And Baruch Hashem, it was incredible. As I was maturing, I was really getting into it. And then I remember it was one time I was in Forest Hills, 108th Street, and I was asked if I would like to come in for a lecture. I'm like, nah, not really. I'm not really interested. Then they told me, is there's going to be free pizza? I'm like, free pizza? Which way do I go? So went in there, heard a great lecture. It was very interesting. Then they invited me for next week. I'm like, I'm not sure about next week. It's like, there's going to be Chinese food. I'm like, Chinese food? Sign me up. I'm there. So so week after week, they used to have these amazing speakers, and I was really, really interested in what they had to say. It was really beginning to change me. I was beginning to grow. I was already 16, 17 years old. And my brother, who never went even a day in his life to yeshiva, because my parents were like, we don't need another one like Shimon, some fanatic guy, you know. So they made sure not to send my brother to yeshiva. But I started to do Kirov with him. He was actually my first Kirov project, and my younger brother Ruben. So we said, you know what, we're gonna start keeping Shabbos. So it was myself, my brother, and it was also like a group of guys, like young guys who also wanted to start keeping Shabbos together. And all of our parents were working. So we started keeping Shabbos together, whatever we knew to do. We got to the point, it was like already, I don't know, 15 guys, all between the age of like 10 years old to like 16 years old, all getting together, having Shabbos every week, doing whatever we can, whatever we know. Looking back now, obviously, you know, we didn't do everything right, but, you know, we just did whatever we knew. And just continued to go to these lectures. And at some point, after this incredible journey, which I'm making a long story short, these lectures had such an impact. And I said to myself, the idea came, we have to capture these lectures. We have to record them somehow. So we started recording on an audio, a little MP3 player. And people saw that I was putting this little device on next to the shtender. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm recording. They're like, why? I'm like, I don't know why. This is important information. So they're like, would you mind making me a copy on a CD? I'm like, that's a great idea. Next thing you know it, I'm making dozens and dozens of CDs. I'm giving them out to people. And then as I got older already, in my early 20s, again, at this point, I'm already really, really growing. And I'm just continuing going to these lectures. And my parents got me a camera as a gift. And I said, hey, this is a great camera. Let me start recording lectures now on video. Started recording on video. And started making DVDs, giving out the DVDs to people, and became very popular. And the internet already was, it was already 2000, I would say 2003, 2004, 2005. Internet was getting more and more popular at the time. And it was so obvious that we got to get these lectures on the internet. Just didn't know how. I wasn't very technical. But my brother, Baruch Hashem, much more technical than I am. He says, Shimon, you've been recording for so many years. We're spreading so much Torah by the CDs, the DVDs. And I know we always had this idea of putting it on the internet. Let's just make it happen already. So you learn how to make it happen. You learn how to do it. We made a very, very basic, generic website in 2006. And that's when Torah Time was born, Baruch Hashem. And when we started, the site was very primitive. It took us many hours just to put up one lecture, and didn't have any features. You couldn't fast forward, you couldn't rewind, and all these other things. But Baruch Hashem, we just were so passionate about spreading Torah. And when we saw where the hits were coming from, we saw from Eretz Yisrael, from LA, from Canada, from the UK. We're like, wow, how do people knowing about this? We were just blown away. And year after year, we began to grow and we began to expand, and one thing led to another, and our passion just continued to grow with everything. And the Baruch Hashem, 18 years later now, it's amazing. 18 years later, and now, I don't know. We've been told that we probably spread more Torah than anyone or any organization in history, you know. And even though so much has been accomplished, and we have so many platforms at this point, we have the website and the app, and we have the hotline for people who don't want to use internet. We have newsletters. We have we publish Sfarim. We have programs called Rebbe Anytime to help Yeshiva boys with their Gemara and Mishnayos. We have Jewish Anytime for people who are not yet holding in Judaism or just beginners, and so much more. And there's so many more projects in the works. So it's all Hashem. It's a tremendous chus that we have to be doing what we're doing. But like I said, even though so much has been accomplished, 12 million hours a year, so many different platforms, we feel like this is just the beginning.
Wow, it was quite the journey of the start, and especially to what it's built to today. I'm curious if there were any big challenges that stuck out. You mentioned it wasn't so easy to set up the website. Was there any like big challenge in the first few years that really had you concerned maybe this wouldn't work out or wasn't the right idea?
Well, that's a great question. You know, in different stages of the organization, there's been different challenges. But some of the challenges in the beginning was that, you know, that we're not software developers. You know, my brother and I, we're just, Baruch Hashem, we're just idea people, like a lot of ideas. And to help to find the right people to be able to take those ideas and put into reality was always a challenge. But again, if you look back of everything, 18 years, Hashem has sent us the most incredible team. Without the team that we have, is just no way any of this would be possible. So, because again, we're not the technical people so much, but just like a lot of ideas, and that's incredible. But one of the big challenges in the beginning is that when we tried to go to Rabbanim to record them, they had no idea who we were. I'm like, why do you want to video me? Who are you? Where is this going to go? You know, so it wasn't today, believe it or not, without exaggeration, there's over 1,400 people trying to get on Torah Anytime and growing by the week. We just keep emails. How do I get on Torah Anytime? How do I get on Torah Anytime? It's become a complicated situation. But there was a time where we were just chasing people and just they didn't know who we were. So that was one of the challenges. Another challenge is that, you know, the internet, even today, you know, it's a very dangerous place. And to send people to the internet to watch lectures. So we tried to put a spin on it. We made like a little tagline, Hashem's reason for the internet, Torah Anytime. You know, so, but there was challenges. People, you know, didn't want to be connected to the internet. But at the end of the day, you see now almost 20 years later that the reality is, and there's nothing you can do about it, it's here to stay. And the best we can do is just every minute we could keep someone on a kosher, safe environment, there's one less minute that could be somewhere else doing who knows what.
Okay, very nice. And you mentioned this, I was going to get to it later, but there's so many people who want to get on Torah Anytime, so many different Rebbeim and Rabbanim from all different places in the world, I'm sure. How do you decide who gets to make it onto the website and who's going to have to wait or potentially never get on?
Right. Wow, another fabulous question. So this is there's no real perfect answer for this. There's a few factors involved. Of course, we have a board of Rabbanim that whenever we have questions, everything goes through them. But there's a few factors. Before anything else, we have to make sure that hashkafically, that everything fits within what the hashkafa of the organization as a whole is. So it's very difficult to make everyone happy. But you have to try to find that lowest common denominator across the board, which is a very, very, you know, it's a balance that that's not easy to keep. There's some people today, everybody has something to say. Every rav of every corner shul, you know, wants the mic, but it's a big responsibility. So there are some people who are kind of like grandfathered in from the past that maybe necessarily if they come on, if they were to ask to come on these days, maybe we wouldn't take them because we used to be a lot more lenient in the past. And today our board of Rabbanim just, you know, are a lot more stricter because we have to be so careful of who we give the microphone to, because it's such a responsibility. But then outside of the just hashkafically, we just want to make sure that the person has potential to get a following. Because to get someone on and they're just going to get like 7 views, you know, all the time and money, expense, energy to get them rolling and everything, it's just not worth it. We have to see that there's someone. So So we have a group of people as well, even myself, who are like scouts, you know, who kind of like have an idea of doing this now for almost 20 years. Like we've already made, I mean, again, not that we made Hashem runs the world, but we were part of helping so many people get incredible careers who were like unknown people. And they got on Torah anytime. And after a few years, they became famous speakers. They got big positions in shuls and Baruch Hashem, good salaries. And they just got a name for themselves. And Torah anytime is a big part of that. And that's a big success for us. So Baruch Hashem, we're more or less, we're pretty good. But it's all really Siyata Dishmaya. And sometimes if someone who is very close to us tries to get someone in, you know, it's also important who you know and what references you have. And there's other factors as well. Since everything is free on Torah Anytime, we don't charge for anything. We never charge for anything. We hope to never charge for anything, even though the expenses are continuously growing with the way technology works. It's endless expenses. People just don't understand that. And sometimes also some people come, you know, with, like, listen, I'll help out financially, maybe if you could help, you know, get on. It's not really a situation that, you know, someone pays to get on. We don't officially have anything like that. But obviously, if someone comes, you know, with some type of a way to help us financially, that obviously that's a big plus as well. But yeah, that's some of the ways.
Yeah, it makes sense. It seems like you have so many different people trying to get on. You have to filter somehow. I'm curious. I think one of the things that make your website so unique from all the other websites out there that do recordings, you know, Kol HaLashon on Torah downloads and every other website, is that with almost no exception, your website is every shiur also has a video that you can watch with it. Why is it that you guys chose, I assume it was a choice, to push so hard to not only have shiurim but always have it videoed?
Yeah, so when we started, people didn't understand, why do you need to video with a shiur? You're not watching some, you know, action movie here. It's just a shiur. Why do you need to video it for? Just get the audio. And there was a few things out there at the time, but I just had this thing about video that I felt like using the extra sense of vision when you're learning to see the emotions, to see how it's said, and just kind of to get the aura of the person, even if it's over a screen, like that extra sense really makes a big difference. And it's incredible because over 50% of our users watch the video. So there is something to it. And we said, you know what, we're this is our thing. Our thing is video. We're going to push for video. A lot of the speakers who we got on, they're like, no, let me just do audio. What's the big deal? No, we forced them to do video, and they came back to us thanking us. Shimon, now I understand why you guys wanted to video. There really is a big difference. There is a different connection when there's a video there. So and they're very happy about it. So yeah, and look what happened years later. Video became this huge thing now. Like, look what happened to YouTube and all these shorts and all these videos. And like, everything is video now. It's just so Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave us this vision that this is going to be something very big.
Well, very nice. And I think one of the things that Torah Anytime really provides, not just to the casual listeners, but to the once-a-year listeners, is the Tisha B'Av event, or some of those big events similar to that. I'm curious, what goes into planning one of those in terms of picking the speakers and setting everyone's time, and what's that like?
That is actually a very big deal. That's our biggest, learning day of the year, actually. It's ironic because you're not really supposed to be learning on Tisha B'Av. But it happens to be, we get over 500,000 users just in those 25 hours.
That's incredible.
It takes about six, I would say probably about on average 6 weeks to prepare. We're recording, we're live streaming at this point 30 different programs. Many of them are live programs from many different parts of the world. And we have staff all over the place. We have to purchase all types of equipment. I mean, until we got this right, and we should continue, it should continue to work great, but we had years of troubles. We kept crashing and crashing and crashing because so many people were getting on and we just weren't able to keep up. But the past few years, Baruch Hashem, has been a little bit easier. Just the Tisha B'Av is probably about $80,000, just the expense, just to prepare for Tisha B'Av. And the day itself as well, to open up all the bandwidth that we need, all the extra servers we need throughout the world. And all the equipment that's needed, a lot of it is rented as well, because we only needed once a year that much equipment. So we always look for that sponsor who wants to take all the scus for themselves and who wants to sponsor that event. If anyone out there is listening and wants to sponsor the upcoming Tisha B'Av event, and you know, that affects over 500,000 people, even more actually, because you have many places that show it on one screen where there's many people watching. So we can't really count that. But yeah, contact us. You could email me, shimon@torahanytime.com, or you could just WhatsApp me at 917-681-0003 and say, hey, I want to own that Tisha B'Av event. I want to make it mine forever.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize how big of a production it was in terms of listeners and speakers and the financial side as well. I'm curious, you know, you've done this for so long and you mentioned how helpful it's been and the numbers prove that. Do you have a favorite letter you've ever gotten from a listener?
We have what feels like an endless amount of testimonials that we get and feedback from people. We have people who have told us that that their family member is on their deathbed, and what they do with their last days and weeks is they watch lectures on Torah Anytime. It's a big part of their day. And just to hear something so emotional like that. I have people who told me that they're singles who are already older, and older singles, they live alone, and and they stay without Torah Anytime in their life, in their apartment, they'll be so lonely. And they just feel like they always have someone there, and they have like Rabbanim there with them. You know, like just like incredible things that I just wouldn't ever think of on my own. You know, we have people that have, unfortunately, ALS disease, where they're completely paralyzed, and they just Torah Anytime just keeps them going, things like that. We had someone who was on their way to end it all, and they got a daily dose, one of our short clips, and they just turned around, and just they got the chizuk that they needed to keep going. So there's like we get a lot of people who tell us that because of Torah Anytime, they got off Netflix and YouTube and all that stuff, and now they're watching Torah Anytime. So it's literally priceless. You know, the people that support this organization, the people that fund it, the people that back it up, the amount of schusim that they get is immeasurable. It is like literally winning like the jackpot, and it just doesn't end. It just keeps going. While they're sleeping, they're getting schusim. While they're doing anything, because they're supporting Torah Anytime, there's not a moment that there's not someone learning on Torah Anytime.
Wow, those are some very impactful stories. You mentioned the financial side a few times already, and I guess now's the time to speak about it. You have a fundraiser coming up. The details will be in the description of the podcast as well. But if you could share with the listeners, you know, what you're fundraising for and how they could get involved, that would be great.
Yeah, for sure. It is our one time a year only campaign. Throughout the year, we don't like to bother people. We want them to use the platforms and just take advantage of it and live on it and sleep with it and eat with it and travel with it. And that's we get all that with people. But one time a year, we ask everyone just to get together like the Torah Anytime family that we all are, and to show their appreciation, to show their Hakaras HaTov, to show their gratitude, and to make a donation for all the expenses of the organization. People don't realize that, there are server fees, there is hosting fees, there is storage fees to store 300,000 lectures. We're posting about 1,000 lectures a week right now on Torah Anytime in 15 different languages in over 150 countries. And everything is paid for. There's nothing that's free. But because we have such a good product, you just don't think about these things. So one time a year, we have the campaign. We have a $3 million budget. We should have a $10 million budget, but it's very difficult even just to maintain a $3 million budget, because we have ideas, a long list of ideas, and we're working on many projects right now. This is it. This is the campaign is actually coming up on Lag BaOmer, which is May 26th, which is a Sunday. And the day after Lag BaOmer, which is the 27th, which is Memorial Day, a legal holiday. So it's going to be our annual campaign. And as between now and the campaign, there's two things that people could help us with. Number one, they could create a team ambassador page, which towards the whole goal of the campaign, they could take themselves a smaller goal, let's say like, you know, $1,000 or $5,000. And then on the day of the campaign, the 2 days of the campaign, on the 26th and 27th, they could share their personal link with their friends and family and give them the opportunity to show their hakarasatov, their appreciation, and make a donation towards their goal. We encourage everyone to participate, and because this is really a great way to give back and to show your appreciation. So that's one thing you can do. And if you're interested in making a team page, please let us know immediately so we could create it for you. And the second thing we need help with, if anyone is in the New York or the surrounding area, on the days of the campaign, the 26th and 27th of May, we are going to need calling volunteers to help us make phone calls in the campaign calling center, which will be, like I said, in Queens, New York. So if you are interested to come in for a few hours, make a few calls, you don't need to bring your phone numbers. We have all the phone numbers. We have all the setup and the system ready to go. There's going to be all types of prizes and raffles and swag for all the calling volunteers. There's going to be food throughout the day. They're going to meet a lot of the favorite speakers on Touring Time. It's going to be an incredible event. Please let us know as well. You could email me at shimon@touranytime.com and say, you know, I'm interested. Tell me more information. Or you could WhatsApp me or you could text me at 917-681-0003. Better to do it sooner than later, because as we get closer to the campaign, it's going to get really, really hectic and really busy. So I hope anyone who hears this, you know, takes action and helps out.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to put that information in the podcast description as well. You know, before we end every episode with the same question, which is, I know you and your brother have been on a whole list of podcasts, and you have your own documentary now, and you've done other media interviews. But even though you've always been asked so many questions, there's always questions people are not asked that they wish they were. So looking back at all the questions you have been asked, what's a question you've never been asked that you wish you were, and what answer would you give to it?
Wow, that's caught me off guard. a question that I wish I was asked that I never was. I you kind of stumped me there. I don't know. I mean, just I mean, yeah. Sorry, this is a tough one.
It's okay.
Yeah. I apologize. Something, you know, right now it's like just before the campaign, my mind is so focused.
It's fine.
On this.
It's fine. If people want to hear all the answers, they can listen to other events as
right,
well.
Right.
Other interviews.
You should know we don't look forward to making this campaign because it takes us away from our focus of pushing out more projects and spreading more Torah. But end of the day, you know, the money has to come from somewhere, because money makes this organization and every yeshiva and everything else out there keep going. So it's a tremendous source to be the people who donate to this cause. And Hashem should continue to give us strength. And of course, the Yetzer Shemaya to the incredible to keep the success going. We know we could do 20 million hours, 30 million hours a year. And it's a big fight right now with social media. There's so much time wasting going on. There's so much nonsense out there. And we have to fight fire with fire. So we're trying to create all these programs. I encourage everyone also, there's a website called everythingtorahanytime.com. If you go to everythingtorahanytime.com, you'll see a list of all our different programs and platforms and all the different divisions and the different departments, how you can sign up for the newsletter, how you get our Sfarim. You could check out what Rebbe Anytime is all about. We're working on something called Chesed Anytime. We have something called Jewish Anytime. We have a Roku channel. We have the Daily Dose. And there's so many things that we have. So I encourage everyone, go to everythingtorahanytime.com and take advantage of everything that Torah Anytime has to offer.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. Everyone should check out all these different sites. And thank you again for joining. Hopefully the fundraiser goes well.
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity to speak at this wonderful podcast of yours, and continued success to everything that you do, Akiva.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that'll be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.